January 5th, 2026. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series brought to you by Civic Media in cooperation with WAUK Radio, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. I am your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, and I'm coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in our beautiful Banting Park home. And I am joined, as always, by the incredible, the mighty Max Martinson, our producer, working from the comfort of his Cream City home near the campus of MATC and PBS Milwaukee. Max, how are you tonight?
Doing okay. Had a good holiday season. Glad to be back here getting some work done. So
same here. Did you get to do anything special?
Not exactly anything special. My girlfriend visited from Ohio the week before Christmas. Nice. So that was like my big vacation, I suppose. But
where in Ohio is she from?
A little bit south of Columbus.
Nice. Cool. Well, that's great. Well, good. I'm glad you guys had fun. And the rest of the family had a nice Christmas and everything, or holiday season, I should say.
Yeah, I went back home for Christmas Day, and we spent the day just kind of watching some basketball. So
nice. Oh, good.
Yeah, nothing too like insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So it sounds like everyone I heard, they all had a nice Christmas, but it was kind of, you know, more of the same. There were a few different wrinkles. And for us, our wrinkle is, by the way, This Week in Waukesha is all about acting locally, thinking globally. And so from time to time, we'll have guests that have probably never been to Waukesha County, but there is always a connection. For our regular listeners, a few weeks back, we had a hometown friend from our sister city, Brian Sullivan, who is a co-founder and I believe a CEO of Kanuma Resources in British Columbia in Canada. And they mine coal that is produced to make sustainable steel that is then sold to other countries around the world. And great model, again, with this big sustainable footprint or emphasis, if you will. And after the show, the very next day, Brian was saying they were having an issue with a critical spare part for their mining operations. And that part comes from the ABB factory in New Berlin, here in Waukesha County. And that's what he says. How does Waukesha support the mining industry? There's your answer. And Brian says that he owes a gentleman named Brian Hangestrom, the general manager at ABB, a beer. So I think I'm going to have to fulfill that honor for Brian. So if anyone knows Brian, H-A-N is a Nancy, G-E-S-T-R-O-M, Brian Hangestrom or Hangestrom. He's got a beer on me. So, no, it is neat to see the connectivity. And I, you know, as Max and I were talking about the Christmas season, everyone was kind of doing more of the same. They still had a nice Christmas. It was still lovely and, you know, quality time with family and friends. But we did something a little different towards the end after New Year's. January 2nd, last Friday, we drove down to Springfield, Illinois, where my youngest daughter had a softball tournament. And those, again, regular listeners will recall, we had a similar tournament further north a few weeks before Christmas in Rhinelander. It was like minus 16, I think, was the high for the whole weekend. Maybe a little bit better than that, but still minus temperatures. And it was a dome that was part of the Rhinelander High School. And the heating wasn't working very well in the dome, so it was really tough conditions for both the girls playing and for the parents and family members watching. That was a pretty scary, pretty rough weekend, kind of out of a Jack, you know, if Jack London lived in the modern age, this could have been good fodder for one of his novels. So, but the Springfield was a little different. It was there's a sporting goods store called Shields, which I'm told is the concept is like Dick's Sporting Goods meets Cabela, you know, the outdoor, the hunting store. Which actually, interestingly enough, is they're going to be taking a space at Mayfair Mall in Wauwatosa. So interesting development there. But Shields had this huge store in Springfield, along with adjacent to the store was this huge athletic complex that they own and sponsor. It's called Shields Sports Park. There is outdoor facilities, diamonds for softball and I believe baseball, but there's also a dome, a beautiful dome. And all of this is like pretty much brand new as of, I think I was told last June, maybe, or last April. Hasn't been up long, but the dome inside is beautiful. It had room for two diamonds, probably more than that, but they had a tartan basketball court up, some volleyball courts. I thought I saw some pickleball. There was a big concessions area, an amusements area that included like bags, you know, sheep's or whatever, not sheep's head, but oh, what's the other name for bags? Anyway, cornhole. So, but it was a great facility. The turf was wonderful. And now we'll put a pin in that because there's a local aspect to what I'm getting at here. But the games didn't start till late afternoon on Saturday. So we had time in the morning to go visit the Abraham Lincoln Museum and Presidential Library. This is actually my third visit to a presidential library, the first one being the JFK Library in Boston in the summer of 1983. And then a couple years ago at another softball tournament, I visited the Harry S. Truman Presidential Library in Independence, Missouri, near Kansas City. And that was amazing. That was actually a bucket list item because my mother got me the David McCullough biography about Harry S. Truman and for Christmas in 1992, I believe it was. And that won the Pulitzer Prize for best biography for that year. And it was really amazing read and a really great portrait of American history that actually traces the Truman family back to the days of the settlers and really some of the Civil War portraits. It gives you an idea that Missouri and Kansas were actually among the bloodiest theaters of the entire Civil War, believe it or not. So, but anyway, it was great to be able to do that and then enjoy some softball. The girls did well. They won two, well, technically three. There was a forfeit on Sunday. And they lost two, but they lost to two pretty tough teams from the state of Illinois. And great competition in that regard. But regarding the sports complex, again, a fantastic facility with all the modern amenities. And it was announced that the city of New Berlin was considering seriously a similar venue, which would then compete with, what's the name of it? It would compete with the OAW facility, the Orthopedic Associates facility. That's also in New Berlin, as well as the Styx facility, which is primarily baseball. But it was going to have a lot more than that. It was going to be similar to what this Shields Sports Complex was like. And there was some good comments in social media because it was reported in the news that this is going to be called it was going to be a destination baseball complex, a large multi-sport youth athletic complex. It was proposed for farmland near the intersection of Big Bend Road, Townline Road, and Skyline Drive. A development backer said would become one of the largest youth sports facilities in the entire region. I'm looking at a rendering of it now. And fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you perceive it, I guess for me, I would say unfortunately, the New Berlin Planning Commission rejected the deal, but they say they may move forward at another site in New Berlin, which again, if it happens here in Waukesha County, I'm all for it. Closer to Waukesha, even better. I always saw it, and people, again, regular listeners have heard me say this, that the old Rempe Farm, which is like 42 acres, I was lobbying for the city to consider looking at that as a potential athletic complex, because these are money generators. When you think of these big tournaments where families travel, like on softball, for example, there's 12 girls on a team, and there's teams at every age group, and every age group is essentially a year. So it's not like when I was growing up, whether it was like fifth and sixth graders playing majors and seventh, eighth, and ninth graders playing Babe Ruth ball. There's U12, U13, U14, U15, U16. And so you get what I'm saying, but you think of the hotel rooms, you think of the gas, think of the tables, the butts in the seats at the restaurants, the fast food places. You think of the ice being bought for coolers. You think of all the things, beer, liquor. It draws people. It is essentially the new Vegas, if you will, for entertainment, and especially for those who can't necessarily afford going to Vegas all the time. It's these families are really invested in their youth sports, and they pay serious money, college tuition type money, to have their children compete on these teams with the hopes of someday playing in college, either on a athletic scholarship or leveraging that athletic experience, or that athletic prowess, with also a really good report card and great college board scores, that it would attract maybe an Ivy League or an elite university team to take a closer look. In any event, there's mixed feelings. There are many in New Berlin that want to, you know, but like the size of the city where it is, some would tell you that they think it's too big already. But there are others that understand the benefits of good economic development. I mean, we're not talking about a casino or strip clubs, pawn shops, or maybe other undesirable retail or experience type elements. This is youth sports. These are families. And so typically you're talking about family friendly venues and a lot of money coming from outside Waukesha County, from outside the state, and the region. And so I hope that it happens in Big Bend. And I would also urge the city of Waukesha to revisit what could be done at the Rempe Farm. I was told that maybe 42 acres isn't enough for a multifaceted sports complex, but I would certainly, it's certainly worth the exploration. It could be many things that, again, could be a draw for this city and or for the county, and with a lot of economic benefits, especially as we're seeing more hotels coming up in Waukesha. These are good things, these types of proposals. So in any event, too, is as I mentioned, this is the first podcast of 2026. And we ended our podcast. We did a four pack right before Christmas, so Max could have Christmas off and I could have off. And certainly the rest of you could take some time away from This Week in Waukesha. I know how much you love it. And we packed it in with we also had Lee Montez, the varsity basketball coach, Waukesha South, who shows a lot of promise this year. And it's a really fun team. I encourage everybody to go check them out. So really, there wasn't a time for me really to do a year in review. And of course, you were overwhelmed with those on television. My wife was rather upset. I think many others were. You know, we got home early from our New Year's Eve party. One, to kind of make sure everything was going on. Our son had some friends over, college age friends, and everyone was responsible, partying responsibly. And so we came up to the bedroom, and my wife was really looking forward to seeing the ball drop, but it there was no ball drop on ABC, or it was kind of bastardized by this like half hour long tribute to Donald Trump and all that he achieved in 2025. I thought that was interesting. And they did do a year in review, and they showed kind of the obituaries of all the people that died. And I think those are interesting. I think they're appropriate. I don't know if it's needs to be done right when people are kind of itching to see the ball drop and ring in the new year. But there's a couple obituaries I'd like to share, both locally and also from the sister city, from my hometown where I grew up. But obviously the most notable, I would think, in Wisconsin would have to be Bob Uecker, who actually, we're approaching the first year and anniversary of his passing. It was in, I believe it was January 15th, 2025. But obviously a legacy, a spirit that continues to live quite vibrantly here in Milwaukee area and in the baseball world everywhere. Everyone loved Uecker. And of course, a great ode or tribute. It was the Brewers having a great year, coming, you know, short of the World Series, but at least making it to the National League Championship and losing to the eventual World Series champion, Los Angeles Dodgers. And things, again, look very promising for the Brewers for the upcoming season. But no matter what, just that spirit of Euchre is going to, you know, it's going to be a big part of the baseball experience in Milwaukee at Brewers games and other types of baseball and softball. There's always a Euchre reference, and one that usually comes with a laugh or a smile. And I think of Robin Yao might have said this at Euchre's funeral, or I think it was like a memorial service, but he quoted something Euchre told him shortly before his passing, that Euchre said, I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. And that was Euchre. And so you can't say enough about a guy who got to do what he loved professionally as an athlete, to contribute to two World Series teams, one here in Milwaukee with the Braves, another one with St. Louis, and also to continue his career in baseball as a great broadcaster for radio. And I'm sure there's some television in there, but a very special person and Milwaukee's own too. And so that's something I'm very, very, very proud of. So now for me back in the hometown, I just, you know, I want to do a big shout out to, I'm sure most, if not all of my listeners have never heard of her, but her name was Peggy Lax. She was my godmother. She was married, her husband Ray Lax. The Lax family were the tycoons in the Western New York car dealer industry, and they were icons, and they were quite successful and wealthy and all those things. But they were also good friends to my family and my parents. At one time, we were next-door neighbors before I was born. And I always remember every year at Christmas time, one of the Lax children, it was usually the oldest boy, Randy, would come to the house to deliver a Christmas present to me on behalf of his parents, my godparents. And it was always like a really nice sweater that I don't think my parents would have ever justified the cost of paying for with so many kids in our house. But the last time I had the opportunity to speak with my godmother was many years ago at a friend's wedding. And, we're from the same parish, if you will, you know, Catholic community. And my mother was talking to her. They were old friends. And she had just, you know, she had a difficult bout through much of her adulthood with alcoholism, and had learned to overcome it, had fought hard to overcome it and you know, lead a good life. And so I had a really enjoyable conversation with her. And I'm someone that's really passionate about Irish history. And my mom had mentioned, yeah, she said, Mrs. Lax's mother was from Ireland. I said, where in Ireland? And she said, from County Cork. And I said, where in Cork? And she said, Skibbereen. And I said, well, there was a great Irish freedom fighter from Skibbereen named Michael Collins. And she said, Michael Collins was my cousin. Her mother's, I guess, was like first or second cousins with him. But I just really need, you know, familial brush with greatness. But also someone just very well-loved, and so many friends, her children, grandchildren, and, you know, big shout-out to them. And also one of my very best friends, Chris Sansone's father, Daniel Anthony Sansone, had also passed away right before the new year. He was a Buffalo firefighter. He owned a restaurant called Danny Sansone's. He also was served on the school board in our town, and he owned a food service distributorship. And he did all this just pretty much at once. I think he was finally retired as a fireman before he was on the school board, but a great leader, a father of nine, and you know, just someone that just very stoic, great sense of humor, so much love in his heart. A man of very few words, but when you got him talk going, boy, he could spin a yarn. And but someone that, again, that continues to live in the hearts of everyone that knew him and loved him. And so that, you know, this goes out to all, and I'm sure there are some of you here locally that have someone like that you lost this year, and you know, keeping them all close in our hearts, and keeping those people with us forever in spirit as we move forward into 2026 and beyond. And so stick around for the next podcast, because it is my 100th podcast. Another great way to celebrate the new year. And please remember always, especially in the new year and after the holiday season and with the weather continuing to be cold, safety is everyone's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. Boromila Mahagavkaler, and see ya!